A good Monday morning reporting Ready Go On The Go News here on this Memorial Day 2026. I'm Mitch Williams. Today is May 25th. We start with this from the National Weather Service in Des Moines. A few storms over northern Iowa will diminish throughout the morning. Otherwise, morning clouds will give way to afternoon sunshine with a south wind increasing to 10 to 20 miles an hour. A two-vehicle crash with minor injuries was reported Friday afternoon in rural Cerro Gordo County. According to the Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Office, deputies were dispatched at about 3:18 p.m. to the intersection of 255th Street and Lark Avenue near Mason City. Authorities say 70-year-old Becky Carstens of Rockwell was driving a 2021 Nissan Rogue southbound on Lark Avenue and had stopped at the intersection before pulling into the path of a westbound 2016 Ford Fusion driven by 20-year-old Kylie Stillman of Ackley. The vehicles collided in the intersection, causing disabling damage to both vehicles. Stillman was treated at the scene by Mason City and Clear Lake Fire Medics for minor injuries. The crash remains under investigation by the Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Office. A Parkersburg man was arrested on Friday night on an assault charge. In an email to Radio On The Go News, Parkersburg Police Chief Bruce Tierney confirmed that 63-year-old Brian Buss was arrested just before 10 p.m. on Friday for assault causing bodily injury. Tierney said Buss is accused of assaulting a Parkersburg man with a club. An arrest warrant was issued following the incident. Tierney said Buss has since bonded out of jail and is awaiting a court appearance. A no-contact order has also been issued in this case. No additional information has been made available. Law enforcement officials are reminding motorists to drive safely as Memorial Day weekend marks the beginning of the 100 deadliest days on Iowa roadways. The period between this holiday and Labor Day historically sees an increase in serious and fatal crashes, especially involving teen drivers. Iowa State Patrol Trooper Jared Arbogast says warmer weather and increased vacation travel bring more vehicles onto the roads, including many inexperienced drivers. Arbogast tells Radio On The Go News, the leading causes of fatal crashes during the summer months continue to be speeding, distracted driving, and impaired driving. Distractions can include cell phone use and extra passengers inside the vehicle.
So, you know, 10 to 15% of the crashes are due to that. But even just when you think about just non-fatality crashes, it's actually like 60% when it comes to teen drivers because of that very thing. You know, they're distracted. And not only is it the phone thing, it's where they have more people in the car with them. And so when you have more passengers, it's a lot easier to get distracted. And that's also why we see, you know, the number of fatalities as well.
Arbogast encourages drivers to slow down, avoid distractions, wear seatbelts, and never drive impaired as summer travel begins across the state.
Sometimes even people forget, you know, in Iowa, if you're under the age of 18, it's the law to wear your seatbelt. And then, you know, you're still a teenager when you're, you know, the 18, 19, 20-year-old. But, you know, they just don't think they need to wear it because it's not the law anymore. But we still find that, you know, 60% of the fatalities from the back seat are unbuckled. And the other stat that is, I don't have an actual number on it, but the number of other people that are injured or even front seat drivers that are fatally injured or killed, obviously, is because of the people being not buckled up and they're flying around inside the vehicle.
As summer activities begin, officials also remind motorists to watch for children walking or biking around town.
School's about to get out. Everybody's excited for summer. And, you know, they're crossing the highway to go to the pool or they're just riding their bike to go here and do this and do that and have a good time, which is, we all wish we could go back to being a kid. I know that. But as drivers, yes, we need to really be making sure we're paying attention, which obviously, you know, that's putting the phone down and paying attention to what we're doing. Just drive.
Law enforcement says simple steps like slowing down and avoiding distractions can make a difference in preventing crashes over the summer months. The Cal School Board approved several contracts and facility improvement projects during its meeting last Tuesday ahead of the 2026-27 school year. Board members approved a tentative agreement with the Cal Education Association, along with certified staff and Schedule D contracts for the upcoming year. The agreement includes updates to maternity and paternity leave and a total compensation package increase of 3.98%. The board also approved classified staff contracts for the next school year following discussion in an exempt session. In other action, board members approved continuation of the district's Backpack and a Smile program, which helps provide school supplies for students and families. Several facility-related purchases and projects were also approved, including furniture for 3 classrooms, new student lockers through Epic Furniture, and classroom and kitchen renovations through Schrader Construction. The West Fork School Board met last Monday in Rockwell and approved several shared service agreements and staffing contracts for the next school year. Board members approved agreements with neighboring districts and Central Rivers AEA to share positions including transportation director, curriculum director, special education director, social worker, HR director, work experience coordinator, and a high school Spanish teacher. The board also approved contracts for Austin Guerrero as 712 athletic director, wellness center director, and PE teacher, along with Carter Henry as assistant athletic director and Caden Jones as high school social studies teacher. Superintendent Mike Kruger updated the board on Phase 2 construction progress and strategic planning efforts with the Iowa Association of School Boards. Administrators also highlighted the end of school year, graduation, summer programming, and student activities. The board accepted the resignation of second grade teacher Mary Jane Simmons after 29 years of service. This from Radio Iowa. State Treasurer Robbie Smith says there's been a change in the state's education savings plan. Smith says the age-based savings tracks for the iSave 529 plan have been replaced with a new enrollment-based portfolio. He says that will give you more options to invest for when you need the money. Smith says you can still decide your best option for investing with the enrollment portfolios with an aggressive approach or the more moderate approach. Smith says the key is to start an account and contribute to it regularly so it can grow. Smith says it takes about 10 minutes and $25 to open an account at iSave529.com. Again, that is iSave529.com. Students from the University of North Georgia spent last week in Iowa through an agricultural exchange program with Ellsworth Community College in Iowa Falls, learning firsthand about Midwest farming and grain production. The group stopped on Thursday at the Landis Cooperative location in Bradford, where students toured the facility and learned about grain handling, storage, and the role cooperatives play in Iowa agriculture. North Georgia Associate Professor Linda Purvis says the program helps students better understand how Iowa's large-scale corn and soybean production connects to agriculture in the state of Georgia, where poultry, cotton, peanuts, and produce are more common.
We just talked and over the years developed this program where we study American Midwest agriculture and learn where all of our commodity crops come from. And so we bring students out for a week and we tell them all about Iowa agriculture. We learn about corn and soybeans and swine and turkeys because those are commodities that we don't grow a lot of in Georgia. And then we connect it back to what we do have a lot of. So connecting it back to what we do, but also showing them how it's also different and how it's connected because we have to get a lot of corn for our animal feed and we have to ship you guys poultry. Because you guys have swine, we have poultry. So just trying to show them and kind of broaden their horizons on agriculture outside of our state.
Purvis says many students are surprised by both the flat terrain and the massive scale of Iowa farming operations compared to North Georgia. Ellsworth Community College Professor of Agriculture Kevin Butt says his students will make a return trip to Georgia in January where they'll study poultry production, specialty crops, and other aspects of southern agriculture.
We also combine that with down there, there's a big expo for livestock producers and the processing side of things. So we kind of combine that in as well. But yeah, we took a group of students down last year. We're looking at going again this upcoming January. Probably the biggest difference was the topography. I mean, down there, we're up into the hills. We're in the northern, you know, the mountains up north, you know, and just the diversity that we saw. I mean, we saw everything from a mushroom farm to orchards, big orchards, vineyards, just the diversity that we saw.
The exchange program also highlights career opportunities across the agriculture industry. The Georgia students arrived in Iowa last Monday and remained in the state through this past Sunday. You can find full interviews with Purvis and Butt under this story at radioonthego.com. And finally today, Hampton American Legion Post 183 will host its Memorial Day service today starting at 10 o'clock this morning at Banshell Park. The program includes presentation of the colors, presentation of wreaths, a performance by the Hampton Dumont Cal and Community Bands, the traditional 13 folds of the flag, a reading of the Gettysburg Address by State Representative Shannon Latham, and a reading of In Flanders Fields by Hampton Dumont Cal student Sarah Whalen Flores. Lieutenant Colonel Brad Tagetz will serve as keynote speaker. The service will honor local veterans through music, readings, and ceremony, and will be broadcast live today on 104.9 KLMJ. Again, starting at 10 o'clock this morning. Also, don't forget today, the Parkersburg Memorial Day broadcast is today as well. That will start at 9 a.m. at Oak Hill Cemetery and will broadcast live on 99 The Wave. And of course, more news online at radioonthego.com. Don't forget the free Radio On The Go mobile app at the Apple App Store and Google Play. For Radio On The Go news, I'm Mitch Williams. Stay tuned. Your weather forecast and funeral announcements are coming up next.